Joining us in the studio is Mr. I believe that was Rick Siegfried.
Correct.
Wow. How did I get that right?
You just met me.
You don't have time to forget.
No, that's probably it. But you don't know me. I can forget quickly.
So can I.
So anyway, you want to talk about Warbird Training Command.
Exactly right.
Are we talking about training pilots to fly Warbirds now? We're not talking about the command in World War II.
We have an area down in the Warbirds area where we feature the different trainers that were used over the years, and it's called Training Command.
Okay.
So we're not training pilots. We're just going to have you visit and see the kind of airplanes that were used, not only in World War II. That's how our focus started, but we try to rotate. We featured Vietnam. We've had jets in Training Command. We've had current military aircraft in Training Command, and it's just an area where we can put about five airplanes on a little grass area, and we've got a tent there and volunteers, and people can come and talk about the aircraft that we got on display.
Nice.
It must be quite a transition from World War II trainers to modern-day trainers. The technology's really come a long way.
It has, and it's very interesting. Obviously, we don't do those all in the same year. We're focusing on World War II because we missed last year, and
right.
We all sorely missed last year. You've probably beat that subject up to death, but
yeah.
We're so glad everybody's here again, and it's just a great activity. And, we're here seeing our friends. That's what it's all about.
Yep. We just saved up our enthusiasm for this year.
That's it.
Without a doubt. And everybody is enthusiastic.
Oh, they were very enthusiastic last night.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do?
Yep.
So let me... Again, this year the focus was World War II, and down there, we're right next to the Warbird tram. I'm sure you've maybe done some interviews with Vic and magnetic personality.
Like I said, coffee drinks him to wake up.
That's about right. Well, he's a good friend, and we actually started that tram out of the Training Command. So it's right next to the Training Command. So if you're down visiting the tram, come take a look at the aircraft we have on display.
Now, a lot of us think that only the military trained pilots, but there were a lot of civilian pilots that enlisted, and weren't there guys that got trained as pilots just so they could enlist?
Yes, all of the above. We in World War II, we were a different nation, and we were rising to meet, an unknown enemy. Well, kind of knew who they were, but
we were all behind one thing.
Yeah. Exactly right. So the nation went to war, and we outbuilt everybody, we outtrained everybody, and the good news, the Allies were successful. So, but this year featured, like I said, World War II. So some of the unique airplanes, and we also wanted to feature the WASP, the Women's Air Service Program. So we tried to get trainers that were in the WASP program. Now, they're not painted exactly like that, but they're the type that they used, as well as the Army and Navy, back at that time. And so the feature we got a steerman, of course, the ubiquitous trainer that everybody almost started off in.
Right.
And that's actually going to be featured in a program this afternoon with about the women air service pilots. So we've got that the steerman. We've got a BT-13, which down in Sweetwater, Texas, at the WASP Museum, they have a BT-13 as well. And then we have an advanced trainer, an AT-6 SNJ, depending on which branch. The women trained in the AT-6, of course. And then we're lucky the museum from Sweetwater, Texas, brought up a AT-17, which is a UC-43 or a Cessna Bobcat, more commonly called the Cessna Bamboo Bomber.
Okay. Because he kept rattling off designations, which I wasn't familiar with.
I talk a little too fast sometimes.
Think of it this way. The Bamboo Bomber was the first airplane that Sky King had.
Exactly right.
Well, I don't know him. I mean, I didn't never met him.
Neither did I, but I used to watch
him. He's here in Oshkosh somewhere.
Yeah, probably.
In spirit, at least.
Yes. I wonder if his airplane's still around. But anyway, we digress, as usual.
So, and the last airplane we have was, it's like, well, what's this doing in Training Command? Well, a lot of us forget, and maybe never knew, that Navy Glenview was a big stop for the Navy pilots learning to fly. And one of the things they had to do was get carrier qualified. So they not only used SNJs to take care of that task, they also used older, at the time, military aircraft that weren't needed on the front line. So they used Wildcats, they used Avengers, they used the Dauntless SBD dive bomber. So there were a lot of airplane they used. And this year, back in the 90s, they recovered a bunch of those airplanes off the floor of Lake Michigan that unfortunately crashed. Fortunately, most of the pilots lived through the crash because they had rescue people out there. The SBD we have on display left Glenview and never made it out to the carrier. And so kind of sad story there. And it was December. And the pilot successfully ditched but was not recovered, which is terrible.
Yeah.
And the airplane was pulled out in 94. It went down to be restored in Alabama, down by the USS Alabama down in Mobile. And unfortunately, they had a hurricane hit. That kind of put their restoration program delayed. So it went to California. They ran out of funds. But currently, it's stopping here because it's en route from California to the Kalamazoo Air Museum, the Air Zoo. They'll get it done.
And that'll be great. Another one flying.
Yeah. Not for flying status.
No. Okay, this was the static display.
This will be a static display in the museum. It'll look like it's ready to go flying. And I must admit, I think all the museums should fly all their airplanes.
Yeah.
I love to see them in the air.
We're a little biased on that subject.
But there's a risk, and we all recognize that. And so this is an interesting airplane. The family of the pilot is standing up to help financially get this airplane restored. So this will be another wonderful airplane to be on display over in Kalamazoo Air, Michigan,
at the Air Zoo.
One of the interesting things is they have an engine on the airplane, and they have the original engine there with it. And the original engine, all the magnesium nose cone and accessory drive sections, gone.
Well, that wasn't part of the design criteria, you know.
Well, yeah. Of course, I mean, a lot of people who are boaters, they know you put a sacrificial zinc on your boat somewhere. Well,
that's right. Magnesium's even more sacrificial.
That's even more sacrificial. So fortunately, it attacked that magnesium, pardon me, and it disappeared, and the rest of the airframe was in better shape than it would have been had the zinc not been there.
Right.
They've done a lot of work on it. It's a shame that she won't fly. There's only two of them flying in the world right now, and a third one sure would be great on the air show circuit.
Yep. Well, the flying one is here also. It's also on display down there. The CAF brought up their SBD, and so it's on display down near the training command. So go down and take a look at that two unique versions of the aircraft.
Yeah, I wonder how many aircraft that were not stars of the war effort but contributed, but there are no examples anywhere.
Like the Brewster and...
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's... they had to have some sort of purpose after the war, or they just didn't survive.
They just faded away, right?
I mean, one of the multi-engine trainers that was probably the most popular, there's two of them, the AT-10, which was built by Beechcraft. I think they called it the Wichita. Oh, where's Beechcraft? Oh, Wichita.
Oh,
there's a name. We're real creative.
That was some good thinking.
And then another one was built by Curtis, and there's no flying examples of the Beechcraft AT-10. And there's no flying examples of the AT-9, which was built by Curtis. Again, because it was built as a multi-engine trainer. After the war ended, nobody really wanted them. They were a three-place airplane, twin engine. Took a lot of fuel and couldn't carry a lot other than those three, the instructor and a couple students. And so they just didn't have a purpose. So unfortunately, none were saved. So we can see them other than at the United States Air Force Museum as examples of both. However... Okay. There is one of our Warbird members who has been for years collecting parts for a Beechcraft AT-10, the Wichita, and it will be a flying example. So someday it'll be here at Oshkosh. It's in the restoration shop right now.
Where did he even find one? It's like...
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
I like to tell stories.
Yeah.
So there you go. Well, this is Sam Graves' airplane, the congressman, and... Believe it or not, he grew up on a farm, and his grandfather had a farm. And basically on that farm, he bought surplus at AT-10. And they put it on the farm. He used what parts he kind of wanted out of it, and it basically sat in the backyard. And when Sam was a little kid, he actually sat in the cockpit and played in that airplane.
Oh,
so he
goodness.
Had the parts, and they started with virtually nothing, but like many restorations, both in vintage and Warbirds and everything else, they built an airplane out of almost nothing from the pan hands.
Wow.
So essentially it was a scavenger hunt to find this airplane.
Yeah. Well, to find the parts.
He traveled all over, and people, I got AT-10 parts, and we looked at him, and those aren't AT-10 parts.
Right.
But sometime he found a gold mine.
Yep. I can't help but the song is stuck in my head. And on this farm there was a plane. E-I-E-I-O.
I was thinking the same thing. Get out of my head.
You guys spend too much time together.
Yeah, well, we're brothers, so we're stuck.
We're stuck. Okay.
Well, great.
Well, that's I definitely have to. That has to be here. That must come to Oshkosh.
Yes.
All right. So where can we go? Where is Training Command?
Training Command, the Warbird area is vast, okay? We've tried to break it in sections. But there's Fighter Town is visible from the road and from the taxiway. Just east of there is Training Command. Just east of that is Warbird Alley, which we have all the we change that display almost daily so people can see different varieties of aircraft. Today it's a North American Aviation Day, so they're going to have all the different examples of North American aircraft, jets, and everything.
Not
there.
A P-51.
There might be one or two around. Yes. And so that's where Training Command is.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for joining us, and get on down there to see these trainers along with the rest of the Warbirds.
Absolutely. It is a don't miss.
Because remember,
thing.
Every pilot that ever flew a P-51 flew one of these little trainers first.
That's right. Even Chuck Yeager had a flight instructor.
That's without a doubt.
That's scary.
Isn't it, though?
Yes, this is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.